Bombardier neither confirms nor denies a big rumor. Boeing lived off its backlog in 2009. And the future of the 787-3 is now in doubt. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 11th, 2010. A financial analyst with J.P. Morgan has upgraded Bombardier on news it's working on a larger, 150-seat version of its C-Series airliner that could compete directly with the Boeing 737 and Airbus A320. Joseph B. Nadal says the new plane would force Boeing and Airbus to re-engine their mainline single-aisle aircraft. The Canadian newspaper The Telegraph Journal quotes Nadal as saying a 150-seat version of the C-Series, powered by Pratt & Whitney's PW1000G geared turbofan, could grab significant market share from the Boeing-Airbus duopoly. For its part, Bombardier calls the report speculative. Quote, the CS-300 and CS-100 are the aircraft we're developing and actively marketing around the world. Unquote. Buying new, fuel-efficient planes doesn't always pencil out. Delta Airlines CEO Richard Anderson says it's more cost-effective to fly its aging fleet of MD-80s than it is to upgrade to more fuel-efficient 737s. The C-Series design is expected to be finalized sometime this year, with delivery starting in 2013. Bombardier claims firm orders for 50 of the aircraft so far. 2009 will be remembered partly as a year in which the commercial aircraft manufacturers lived off their backlogs. Boeing says it took in only 142 net orders for the year, but delivered 481 new aircraft, meeting its forecast. The next generation 737 led the way with 197 gross orders that the company says were driven by efficiency and versatility for future fleet needs. The 777 led Boeing's twin-aisle programs with 88 deliveries, while the 747 and 767 remained slow, with only 8 and 13 units respectively. 59 orders for the 787 were dropped, but that still leaves a backlog of 851. The first flight of the Dreamliner took place on December 15th, and Boeing says it will still get the first customer delivery made before the end of calendar 2010. Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Jim Albaugh commented, quote, 2009 was not without its challenges, but it also was a year of exciting achievements for our company and our industry. With signs of economic recovery emerging in 2010, we look forward to better days ahead, unquote. The company is scheduled to announce 2010 delivery projections along with its year-end earnings report on January 27th. Boeing has now lost the last of its 787-3 short-haul customers. Last week, All Nippon Airways announced it's canceling its order in favor of 28 additional longer-haul 787-8s. The move is aimed at getting ANA's Dreamliner fleet into operation faster. The loss of the -3's only remaining customer has Boeing openly considering its future. Marketing VP Randy Tinseth said on his blog, quote, going forward, we'll continue to assess the market viability of the three, unquote. All Nippon was Boeing's first Dreamliner customer in 2004, ordering 30 short-range and 20 long-haul jets. Their 787-8 order now stands at 55. Up next on ANN, the F-35 meets milestones, but the Pentagon wants to slow down. DOT proposes new rules for shipments of lithium batteries. And Whipline forges ahead with floats for the Kodiak. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 11th. I'm Paul Plack. Lockheed Martin announced last week that the short takeoff, vertical landing variant of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter engaged its unique propulsion system in flight for the first time on Thursday. Also last week, Pratt & Whitney announced it has delivered the final conventional takeoff and landing carrier variant version of the plane's F-135 flight test engine to the Joint Program Office. But But even as the milestones were being announced, Bloomberg was reporting that U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates will slow the F-35 development program due to budget constraints, trimming Pentagon acquisition of the Joint Strike Fighter to just 10 in 2011 and no more than 122 total through 2015. If that leak is true, it could be bad news for Lockheed's bottom line. Moving out of the development phase into production is needed for the company to make projected profit margins, and slower production rates could also hurt profitability. Find much more detail in stories dated January 8th and 10th at aero-news.net. Voices, including pilot unions, have been publicly warning of the dangers to aircraft represented by large shipments of lithium batteries. Because of their chemical makeup and considerable current capacity, a shorted or damaged lithium battery can reach extremely high temperatures and pose a fire risk. Since 1991, more than 40 air transport-related incidents involving lithium batteries and devices powered by them have been identified. On Friday, the U.S. Department of Transportation proposed to continue allowing shipments of the batteries by air, but also to strengthen safeguards, including when they're packed with or contained in equipment. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood explained, quote, "This rulemaking is important for the protection of the traveling public and many of those who work in the aviation industry. This rule will help us achieve a safer aviation environment without imposing a ban on the transport of lithium batteries by air," unquote. You can find detail on the proposal in the text version of this story, dated January 10th, at aero-news.net. Whip Air is making steady progress on certification of its Model 7000 float designed for the Quest Kodiak. A TSO was awarded by the FAA in early December. Whip Air is now working to complete flight testing and expects full approval of the installation by spring. Whip Air says it already has aircraft sitting on the ramp awaiting STC approval and installation. The Quest Kodiak is designed to access short, unimproved backcountry airstrips. Coupled with Whip Air's new floats, it will allow access to remote lakes and rivers, too. The hulls on the floats are modeled after the successful Whipline Model 13000, which the company says has improved rough water handling qualities. They include the traditional Whipline flat-top deck for easy loading and safety. Whip Air has a half-century's experience developing floats for all sizes of aircraft, from the Piper Cub to the de Havilland Twin Otter. It's earned over 100 STCs for a variety of aircraft modifications. Still ahead, NASA gets the first calibration images from the WISE satellite. A brazen theft is reported aboard an Air France flight. And your New Year's resolutions are about to sound wimpy by comparison. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 11th. I'm Paul Platt. NASA mission managers are excited to have seen the first view from their new Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer satellite, or WISE. The craft was launched December 14th and will scan the entire sky for millions of hidden objects, including asteroids, failed stars, and powerful galaxies. WISE data will be used to prepare navigation charts for other missions, including NASA's Hubble and Spitzer space telescopes, pointing them toward the most interesting targets found by WISE. A new WISE infrared image you can see at aero-news.net was taken shortly after the space telescope's cover was removed, exposing the instrument's detectors to starlight for the first time. The picture shows 3,000 stars in the Carina constellation. The image covers a patch of sky about three times larger than the full moon. It was selected because it does not contain any unusually bright objects, which could damage instrument detectors if observed for too long. When the WISE survey begins, the spacecraft will scan the sky continuously as it circles the globe, while an internal scan mirror counteracts its motion. That will allow WISE to take freeze-frame snapshots every 11 seconds, resulting in millions of images of the entire sky. The first sky survey will be complete in 6 months, followed by a second scan of one half of the sky, lasting 3 months. The WISE mission ends when the frozen hydrogen that keeps the instrument cold evaporates away, an event expected to occur in October of 2010. Then, as the instrument's temperature rises, it will become much less sensitive. Lately, the strategy for keeping thieves from stealing your stuff on the airlines has been to put it in your carry-on, where security workers and baggage handlers can't get to it. Well, now it turns out that strategy depends on staying awake during the flight. 5 business class passengers who slept through a long Air France red-eye from Tokyo to Paris woke up to find they'd been relieved of their money, and there was nothing the airline could do about it. MSNBC reports that one passenger woke to find more than $4,300 missing from her purse. 4 others said they were similarly robbed. Police met the aircraft when it arrived in Paris, but there were no arrests reported and no returned money. Air France says while it is responsible for checked luggage, passengers are responsible for belongings carried into the cabin. Border police at Charles de Gaulle Airport say an investigation is underway. And finally today, after the death of his wife in 2000, Tom Lackey, who's an 89-year-old retired builder in England, went looking for ways to deal with his grief. And he found one, wing walking. According to the New York Times, the pensioner has made 20 wing walks, the latest being a trip across the English Channel atop the wing of a biplane. Quote, "My family thinks I'm mad. I probably am," unquote. Lackey suffered a stroke 6 years ago. A friend says he now needs just a little bit more help getting out of the cockpit and up onto the wing. Lackey says he plans a second wing walk across the channel to celebrate his 90th birthday in May. If he's successful, he'll be the first person to ever wing walk both directions across the channel. I'd say the bar for New Year's resolutions has been set pretty high. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about accelerated stalls and why they keep causing accidents. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.